amor llega así esta manera.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.
Yeah, folks, for all of our interviews, each and every show, we do post them on our website after our show. It takes us about a week to get around to it, but we get there eventually. And, boy, it's Cinco de Mayo. I don't know if you knew that or not. This is our way of celebrating. I don't know. Gypsy Kings, does that work? Does that work?
Yes, I love it.
And our next guest, you are going to love him. Have a little listen to the Gypsy Kings first. Well, Eugenio Derbez is the Latin star of film and television. This guy is huge. I checked out a few of his YouTube clips, and, you know, there's a million hits, a million views. You should go to his Twitter feed. His what do you call it, Twitter handle? Is that the word, Melinda?
Twitter feed.
Okay.
I say Twitter
Over feed. A million followers. How many do you have, Melinda? Not near that many. He is unquestionably one of the, yes, understatement of the year, one of Latin America's best known actors and certainly one of the most recognized actors amongst the Spanish speaking population in the United States. But he is starring right now in an inspiring film out in theaters called Girl in Progress, heartwarming coming of age family drama starring Eva Mendes. And that's pretty much all you have to say to get me there, Eva Mendes. Ladies and gentlemen. All the way from, I don't know where, Eugenio Derbez. Eugenio, how you doing, man?
Hi, Drew. How are you?
Where the heck are you?
Right now, I am in Mexico City.
Okay.
I'm celebrating the Cinco de Mayo. I was laughing because I was hearing the Gypsy Kings, but that's Spanish music. I mean, it's in Spanish, but it's from Spain.
Oh. Man, I tried so hard. It was either going to be that or the Beastie Boys, and I didn't know which one.
Drew, why don't you sing something in Mexican?
You know what? Can we just do a little? I'm sure lots of stupid white people do this to you, Eugenio, but can you learn me up? Here, this is all I know. I lived in California for 4 years, and this is the only Spanish I know. Can I throw this back at you? You ready?
Yeah, it's okay. Okay, yeah.
You ready? Orale, vato. Orale, vato.
Okay, that sounds Mexican. I like it.
Thank you.
Your accent is very accurate.
What does it actually mean? It doesn't mean sort of what's happening?
Orale, vato. Yes, it's like, what's up, Doc?
What's up, Doc? What's up, Doc? Yeah, I've been going around saying, what's up, Doc? I sound like Bugs Bunny.
I just have to say, though, hi there. Yeah, is it Eugenio or is it something else that we need to say your name?
Yeah, you are saying it wrong, but
yes.
It happens with all the Americans and Anglos and Canadians and everything.
Okay.
I know it's hard. I'm thinking about changing my name, but it's Eugenio.
Okay. Eugenio.
Are you kidding me? I can't say that. Do it again.
Say it one more time.
Eugenio.
Eugenio.
Hey, you got it. Yeah.
Woo.
Eugenio.
Drew, why don't you try that?
Okay, my turn. Eugenio.
Not really. It was E-A-E-O. No, it's E-U.
Eugenio.
Exactly.
Now, what would your name be if you wanted to change it?
Drew.
It would be Eugene.
Eugene? Eugene. Eugene. Okay.
It's easier, yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Listen, the first question I have for you is a totally ignorant Canadian, is how's Selma Hayek? I know you and her are good friends, right? You have to be. Just tell me she's a nice lady, please.
She's very, very, very nice. I know her pretty well. Actually, we were born the same day, September 2nd. And, she's lovely, she's beautiful, she's talented, she's everything.
Yep.
Okay, Drew right now is having a little crush moment.
Oh, stop.
You just can't see him.
Stop. Speaking of people you've worked with, I'm going to throw out some names, and I want you tell me what they're like in like a one or two words, okay? Just a very brief, what's your instant reaction when I say these people's names, okay? You ready for the first name?
Yeah.
George Lopez.
Funny.
Okay. Anthony Quinn.
Old.
Come on, I know you're all friends, or used to be.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's, I mean, I never knew him.
Uh-huh.
He's another two generations above me.
So? Doesn't matter?
I like him. I think he's talented. He's one of our more talented Mexicans.
Okay. You ready for the next one?
Yeah.
By the way, here's a warning. I'm a complete idiot. Okay? I really am. Here's the next one.
Don't worry.
Ricardo Montalban.
Ricardo, do you want me to describe him with few words?
Yes.
Or what?
Yes.
He's a Mexican that's more American than Mexican.
He's a Mexican that's more American than Mexican. Okay, I get that. All right.
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. We're rolling along. Keep going. Cheech, what are you going to say about Cheech?
Oh, it's drugs.
Drugs. I was going to say, like, the last two have been dead for a while, and so is Cheech, right? So, okay, next one, Rob. And now, by the way, I'm just mentioning all these famous Mexicans, all right? All these famous Mexicans. So here we go. The next one, Rob Schneider.
He's just half Mexican because now he's married to a Mexican woman. So, he's like half American, half Mexican. But he's really funny. He's charming. I owe him my last year of my career, my crossover to America, because he gave me this big opportunity in his show. So lovable. Totally.
I can imagine. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm just an ignorant jerk here again, which is probably true, but we know when you're working with Schneider, with those kind of guys, Adam Sandler, right? And I'm even thinking, you know, you worked with Adam Sandler on Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill.
Right. So with these guys, I can imagine there'd be a fair bit of ad-libbing, a fair bit of improvising. And I can imagine that would throw you, Eugenio, for a bit of a loop because, you know, English is not your first language. So when they start improvising, how do you roll with that?
I can't. Actually, I did a scene with Adam Sandler. We were in a truck, and there was no dialogue at all. And suddenly, Adam started improvising and talking and saying funny things. And I was in awe. And I tried to reply, but I was, oh, my God, I'm going to say something. I'm going to spoil the whole scene trying to improvise, and it's not my language. So I couldn't. I swear I couldn't. I just started laughing, and I just started, like, I don't want to mess. And I finally just laughed, and that's all, because it's true. I can't improvise. It's not my language.
You see, I think your reaction every time those guys throw down like that, I think your reaction should be, you know when, like, your people, and I mean that in the nicest of ways, have this great ability to be able to just launch into some Mexican diatribe, and you sound like a machine gun. And I think every time these guys, these improvisers, lay down some kind of, you know, weird, bizarre thing on the script and just throw you for a loop, you should just bust out in that. Bust right out in it, right? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm gonna do that. I was always like, I'm concerned because I'm still learning English and still taking lessons in Berlitz, and I'm not able to respond as quick as I should. Someone to like Adam Sandler or Rob Schneider. So I'm gonna do that.
You know, I think. You know, I think just like that. I think it's exciting though, because this is your first time on American TV with the Rob Show, is it not?
Yeah, it's my first time. Yeah.
And I was watching some clips. You are funny, and I can see why people
say. You sound surprised.
Well, no, I'm just saying I can see why people say you're the Jim Carrey of Mexico.
Really?
Do you like that comparison?
Yeah, I like it. The thing is that I'm still struggling with my English and
so is Jim Carrey.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Sometimes I've been doing a scene and suddenly the director or the writer comes in and they say something and they say, please change this line and now say this thing, and I say it and I'm not even aware of what I'm saying. I'm just like repeating like a parrot, and I'm not able to understand what I was supposed to say. So it's really funny because I'm still trying to do this crossover, but I'm not. I can't manage the language at all. So I'm working on it.
Well, look, you're obviously doing quite well, and everyone's thrilled with how your career is going, and everybody I've spoken to is in love with you, and they say positive things, and it's just disgusting. And I know you've made it big. Okay, I get all that. But the reason I know you made it big is for two reasons. One, you did the voiceover, you know, the translation of voiceover into Mexican. Now, by the way, do I say Mexican or Spanish?
Mexican.
Okay.
No, Spanish.
Spanish,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because there's Spanish, Mexican Spanish, Argentinian Spanish, Equatorian Spanish, but it's Spanish.
Okay, I'll stay with Spanish, and then it doesn't matter what country you're living in. So okay. You did the voiceover stuff for Shrek and Shrek 2. And by the way, do you know this, Melinda? Do you know which character he played? Do you know? Hmm? Do you? Hmm?
I'm trying to think. I don't know.
Shrek, what was that? It was Brimstone. That ain't no Brimstone. I know Brimstone, and that ain't no Brimstone. Now, how the heck do you voice, like, would you kind of take on the Eddie Murphy persona of Donkey? Or would you kind of do it in your own way?
No, I did it in my own way. And actually, I had permission from Mr. Jeffrey Katzenberg, the producer, to do an adaptation to the Mexican market. So I did my own version of Shrek. You can switch to Spanish. Maybe you're not going to understand anything, but you can switch it to Spanish, and that's me. And actually, I'm doing my own version, and I think it works better. I'm not being pretentious. It's just that the donkey is really Mexican, you know?
It is. The donkey is Mexican. Good call.
Yeah. No, the donkey is Mexican, and I'm doing a really tacky voice. I'm talking like I'm very ignorant. I do a lot of mistakes when I'm talking, and it's really funny. It's really funny to watch a donkey speaking in Mexican Spanish with this. This is funnier than Eddie Murphy, I think so.
That's great.
My mom and I think.
Well, listen, that is one of the reasons I know that you've now made it big, because you voiced over a donkey. And the other reason that I know you've made it real big is because, dude, I saw you sitting in a Batmobile on Twitter. What the heck was that all about?
Well, I have a small collection of those antique cars. I love them. And one of my friends of this, we are many of us that we have, we own antique cars. He bought the original Batmobile from the TV series. So we have the original Batmobile from the TV series. It's in Mexico, and it's in my friend's home. So I went here. I went there when he bought it, and I took a picture inside the original Batmobile.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Seriously, that you won me over right there. I mean, I don't care about the fact that you're an actor and that you're a singer. Oh, speaking of singing, can I just play you a little clip? Would you mind?
Yeah, please.
Okay, I want you to have a listen to this. And folks out there in Radio Land, who says that, by the way, listen to this. This is scary, actually, just a little bit. Look at that clip. Look at that clip. Now, we have the benefit of having the computer in the studio here and watching this on YouTube. And there is some scary-looking dude screaming into the microphone.
That is so scary.
And I got to say, listen, Eugenio, you do the best Marilyn Manson impersonation I've ever seen in my life.
That's incredible.
I know. You have to watch that. You can put in YouTube, Marilyn Manson instead of Manson. M-A-N, it's M-E-N. That in Spanish, it's like saying a stupid or something like that.
That's awesome.
Stupid, you know? Marilyn Manson. So it's funny. I know.
You know, Eugenio, it's interesting because you're so known as a, you know, comedian, the Jim Carrey of Mexico. You're really funny in Jack and Jill. But I was looking and reading up on the new movie that I think came out on April 29th of Girl in Progress. And it's more of a serious role for you. Was that a hard transition to go there?
Yeah, actually, because this is my second time doing something more dramatic. The first one was with the same director, Patricia Riggan. I did a film called Under the Same Moon, and this is my second dramatic role ever. So I'm happy because Patricia is the only one who gives me chance to do something different. So I'm really happy. You have to really watch this film. It's called Girl in Progress. And we shot in Canada, in Vancouver. You have a beautiful country. Mm-hmm. And it is a coming-of-age story about a mother and her daughter, and her teenage daughter, who and it happens that the daughter is more mature than her mother. And she ends up teaching her motherhood lessons.
So who should come see this? Do you think mothers and their daughters should come?
It's probably an entire family movie, isn't it?
Yeah, really, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally. It's for the whole family. And we did a screening last week in the U.S. and with a lot of teenagers. And at the end, they came out crying. And some of them say, I have to bring my mother to see the movie because she's going to understand me much better after watching this film.
Wow. Okay, so here's the deal. Eva Mendez, let's move on to a more important topic again. And let's talk about Eva Mendez and you, Mr. Cabareta.
Okay. Well, Eva Mendez, I'm in love with Eva Mendez. So when Patricia, the director, told me she wanted me to be not the guy, because she's in love with another guy, and I'm in love with her. And I had a love scene with her. It was really hard for me to, you know, to try to imagine. That's why actors are so, they paid us so well, because we have to sometimes do things that we don't feel.
Oh, whatever. Whatever.
You know? So at the end, she's lovable. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman, and she's nice, and she's so, so professional. And I think this role is it's going to be something different in her career.
But this dance you did with her, it's
excuse me.
Didn't you dance with her in this movie? You did some kind of cabareta.
I danced with her, and I took quebradita lessons. That it's a very Mexican dance, and we dance, yeah. And actually, we have a love scene that at the very end, the director cut it off. It's sad.
Because there's no proof now, is there? There's no proof.
No proof. So I have to swear to God, to my all my friends, that I had a love scene with Eva Mendez, but it's not enough anymore.
Oh, man. You are a funny guy. Okay, listen. I mean, you've been acting since 12 years of age. You know, you really have done a lot of amazing things. You are known as a comedian, and of course, in Mexico. And you know as well as I do, Eugenio, that Mexican humor and American humor, you know, Canadian humor, British humor, it's all very different. And I'm trying to figure out how you could have really pulled off, like, The Office, the Mexican version of The Office.
Well, that's the thing. It's so different. In every country, the humor is so different that the people from The Office asked me to do an... After they saw Shrek, what happened with Shrek, what I just told you, they asked me to do the same thing with The Office, to like, Mexicanize or try to do this humor. This is British humor, more understandable for the Mexican audience. So they hired me to do this kind of adaptation for the Mexican market.
And
it was hard.
That's exactly what I was going to say. To go from I think it would have been harder to go from American humor to Mexican humor, or would have been harder to go from the sort of dry, sarcastic British humor to Mexican humor.
Yeah, it was really hard because they did focus groups, and they discovered that people were not understanding this British strange humor, so they wanted to do they wanted not to lose the essence of the show, but make this more understandable to Mexicans. So it was one of the biggest challenges in my career, believe me.
Yeah, seriously. Well, man, you are the right man for the job for sure. You know what? I'm still laughing about how I slaughtered your name, Eugenio. You know, that reminds me of a guy I used to beat up in school, Eugenio. I want to get this right. Eugenio Derbez.
Yeah.
Woo! Nicely done.
Did I do it right?
Eugenio.
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 Yeah. Nice. You were there.
And it's not Derbez. It's Derbez.
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 Very nice.
I'm sorry. I put the wrong emphasis on the right syllable.
So
I have a video of Adam Sandler obsessed, like saying my name like 50 times because he was obsessed trying to say it right, and it's so funny. It's Adam Sandler saying Eugenio, Eugenio.
That's awesome. So what are you doing tonight for Cinco de Mayo? I think that's our most important question. How are you celebrating?
I have something to tell you. Cinco de Mayo in Mexico is nothing.
Oh, man. We are total rookies, man. Total rookies. We have no clue about the outside world.
But we know that in the U.S. it's huge and it's big. But in Mexico, we just know that we won. Like, I don't know, but years ago, we won a battle, a small, really small battle against a small army, French army. So for us, it's like nothing. It's just one more day. Our big day is September 16th. That's the big one. I know that everyone outside of Mexico, they think it's Cinco de Mayo, but in Mexico, nothing happens.
You know what? This is what we do. And you know what? I blame the Scottish or the Irish for this because they go around looking for international holidays as a justification to drink. All we want is a reason to drink.
Exactly. That's all. But there's no big deal in Mexico. It's one more Saturday, a normal Saturday.
Eugenio, let me ask you, how long ago was it?
Let me tell you one thing. I'm going to drink a beer because of you guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Right. Thank you. One cerveza on us. Got it.
Yeah, so you don't feel alone.
Okay, thank you. how long ago was it that your mom passed?
10 years, exactly. Yeah.
And would she be the closest person to you that has passed away?
Yes.
Okay, so your father, I don't know much about your family. Is your father still living?
No, my father died 25 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, all right. Tell me about your family. Siblings? I know you have a sister? Yeah.
Yeah, just one sister, and I have three kids, two boys and one girl.
What are your children's names?
Aislinn. That's an Irish name, by the way, Aislinn. And Jose Eduardo.
That's Irish as well, I hear. Yep.
No, that's Mexican.
Okay.
And Vadir. Vadir. Vadir Alejandro. Vadir is like from, I don't know. I just liked it. In Spanish sounds good.
Okay, that works. All right. And I understand, like, you have a sort of a faith story. We're just about near the end of our interview here, but I want to ask you just a little bit about your faith story. I mean, you know, I know that Catholicism is the biggest religion in Mexico.
Yeah. We're here. Yeah, they are really too much for my taste. I don't know if I'm saying nonsense, but I mean, we are two Catholics, extremely Catholics. So I'm a comedian, so every time I want to make fun of religion, oh my God, I have to deal with everyone. So, because I'm light. I'm light Catholic, it would be.
Yeah, you're Catholic light.
Catholic, but yeah, exactly.
So I mean, are you Catholic? And sorry for, you know, if I'm getting too personal, but this is obviously part of our show. We talk to people about their beliefs and what they, you know, their spiritual journey. And sometimes, you know, Eugenio, I know a lot of Catholics who are Catholic because they grew up Catholic. And I want to know, you know, is that why you're Catholic? Are you Catholic because you grew up Catholic, or are you, you know, was there a point in your life where you said, no, I believe in Jesus.
No, I was born because I was raised as a Catholic, and then right now I am like a light Catholic.
Yep.
And I maybe I like to read about another religions like Buddhism, and I mean I don't want to switch. I'm just want to know more about other religions, and because I found them interesting. And I'm founding Catholicism like a little bit updated. No, not updated. No, how do you say?
Outdated.
Outdated. Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. So.
Yeah, I feel like.
So you know, was there some point in your life where you looked at yourself and you had to make a decision whether you were going to be a you know, still believing in Jesus all on your own, and you weren't just living off of your parents' faith, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I feel more. I'm like, I believe in Jesus, but not in how the church is managing all the information.
Right. Well, it's very hard these days for Catholics to, for a lot of Catholics, and especially a lot of celebrity Catholics, to raise up the Catholic flag in pride. I had Sinead O'Connor on my show, a month or so ago on St. Patrick's Day. And boy, Sinead O'Connor is very in love with the Catholic Church, but she's very angry with the Catholic Church.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that a lot of people is like that and feeling like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then raising your children. I mean, you know, you're fortunate in some ways that, you know, your mom and dad have passed, because I know that, you know, in the tradition, if mom and dad are still around, they would want your kids, they would want their grandkids to go to Catholic Church. They would want their yeah. grandkids to go to Mass, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And
but, no, I right now I'm more, I gave them more freedom. So I let them read and choose what they want. And I think they're pretty much like me. I they like the religion, but they are not very, they don't go to Mass every week, for example. They go maybe 8 times a year to church.
Right, so you're training your kids to know and love Jesus, not necessarily to know and love religion.
No, they love Jesus, absolutely, but they are finding my, for example, my daughter. Well, let me tell you something. They are already grown up. That's why, because when they were kids, they were raised as Catholic. But right now, they are my daughter. For example, she reads a lot. And she's always, like, questioning things and trying to learn more about religions. And I let them read and take their own decisions right now. I don't want to, how do you say, obligar?
Yeah, force. Force.
Force them to be something that they don't want to be. So
right.
They're finding their own way, yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, listen, folks, first of all, Eugenio, no, sorry, I still want to call you Eugenio.
Call him Eugene.
It's okay.
No, I'm not calling you that. I'm putting the work in. I'm calling you what you're supposed to be called. This movie is called Girl in Progress, and it is a great family movie. And you heard what he said about girls coming out of the theater saying, I want to get my, you know, I should take my mom to this. It, of course, stars Eva Mendes and a bunch of other people, but the person that we actually... Yeah, but we don't care about her. We care about you.
And Eva Mendes.
And Eva Mendes. Okay, that's right. You're right. Yeah, both. Eugenio, thank you very, very much for talking to us all the way from Mexico City. And when you come to Canada, you have an open door and a warm fire. No, a cozy house. No, a sleeping bag. No, a beer. You have a beer waiting for you.
And happy non-Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, happy non-Cinco
de Mayo.
Cinco
de Mayo.
Happy whatever day.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for the interview. And don't miss Girl in Progress. in theaters with Eva Mendes. It's going to be really a great experience for all of you.
Fantastic. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
Oh, man. You know what? I get nervous when I talk to people that are from other worlds.
Yeah, and Cinco de Mayo, we were
That's
told.
Funny.
Wow.
You know what that's similar to? That's very similar to everyone thinking that Australians drink Foster's.
They don't?
No. They do, but it's not like, you know, oh, everybody drinks Foster's,
well, what
right?
What about the Mexican beer? What is it? Oh, I just had a mind blank.
Oh, Corona?
Corona.
Yeah, they drink that.
Corona?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they drink that I bought like a 6-pack in the grocery store, in a Walmart. That's where I bought it, in a Walmart in Mexico. And it was like $1 for a 6-pack. Seriously, it was $1.
So did you buy another one then?
No, I actually went back. When I found out the price, I bought a case. Anyway, speaking of guys that are not Mexican, let's have some more Gypsy Kings. Oh, my goodness. I'm such a tool. Folks, we're going to move along in the show since we're not celebrating Cinco de Mayo anymore. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign? Well, what if we gave you a show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative advertising concept for the small business owner or charity. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us, one show at a time. Consider sponsoring one show and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our 4-hour show, including a live phone interview. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. If you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show. Go to drewmarshall.ca for details or call Joy 1250 on 905-845-2821, extension 367. That's 905-845-2821, extension 367.